Well, it has been an eventful 2 weeks. We've had confirmation camp, we've had VBS, and it's a time that's a lot of fun, and yet it's a time that wears you out. And so after about 3 days of rest, I feel very rested. I told my wife this morning, I feel good this morning. And I'm sure as you were listening to the scripture readings and looking at what the next reading is, you're going, man, this is kind of a downer. But we studied in VBS the life of Jesus. And this was one of the last lessons I did on Tuesday morning when we talked about Jesus' death. And as I taught the class, I realized that, you know, when we normally talk about this is Good Friday. And that's about it. And this is a story that I think that we need to be constantly reminded of. Because in Jesus' death, we really see the heart of God. We see how much God loves sinful mankind. And because of this, I can bring you greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I'm going to pick up in the middle of this text, and we're going to go through it all, but our reading will come from Luke chapter 23, verses 20 through 34. And I would ask that you would please stand for the hearing of the gospel. Reading in Jesus' name. Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. And they cried, saying, Crucify him! Crucify him! And they said unto them a third time, Why? What evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave the sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. And as they were led away, they laid upon one Simon, a Cyrene, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And they followed him, a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, I say, the days are coming which they shall say, Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountain, Fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in the green tree, what shall it be done? What shall be done in the dry? And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, they crucified him. And the malefactors, one on his right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them. For they do not know what they are doing. And they parted his raiments and cast lots. Amen. Please be seated. I'm going to pick up with verse number 1 of this chapter. And again, it's one of those things that as I thought about it last week, I thought about who God is and who Jesus Christ is. Because the one thing that we have to keep in mind, and we sang about it today, worthy is the Lamb, Jesus the King. All of these things, this is who Jesus Christ is, and yet he allows himself to this point. The whole company of them arose and brought Jesus before Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, We found this man misleading our nation in forgiving us to give tribute to Caesar and to say that he himself... Or and says that he himself is Christ, a king. Now, what's interesting is Jesus never said that they were not supposed to pay taxes. And in fact, he says, whose inscription's on this coin? Well, Caesar's. Well, render unto Caesar what is Caesar, and unto God what is God's. And so right away, we see that what they're claiming he did, he never did. And he does tell his disciples that, yes, I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, but he tells them, don't tell anybody. And so really, Jesus has not done anything to formally bring down the Jews, but he certainly has upset their world. He has performed miracles. He's brought the deaf so that they could hear, the blind so that they could see. The dead had been raised from their graves. The lame walk and those who had leprosy had been cleansed. All he had done is good things to people. And he had instructed the people to listen to what the Pharisees said, but don't do what they do. And see, this is where it really got him in trouble. Because he had attacked the religious establishment. And they wanted him dead. And not only him, but reading back in this, they also wanted Lazarus dead so that nobody would know. See, if they're both dead, then this whole thing just goes away. And God knew exactly what this plan was going to be. And Jesus came for this very purpose. And so Pilate starts to question him. Are you a king of the Jews? He answered. And he answered him, you have said so. You said this. And Pilate's a very interesting guy. Because Pilate knows for a fact that Jesus is innocent. And he tries in every way to not have to put Jesus to death. He says to the chief priests and the crowds, I find no guilt in this man. But the crowds and the chief priests, they got everybody in a tizzy here. And they were urgent, saying, he stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea and from Galilee even to this place. And when Pilate heard this, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And when he learned that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him over to Herod, who himself was in Jerusalem at the time. Now, I think this is interesting because Pilate's going, that's it. We'll send him to Herod. He can deal with this stuff. I don't want to do it. I don't want his blood upon my hands. And so, Herod wants to see him. But for reasons that most of us wouldn't think of. I thought this was very interesting when I again read this week. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had long desired to see him, because he had heard about him and he was hoping to see some sign done by him. So Herod wanted to see Jesus. Not to worship him, not to pay tribute to him, but he wanted to see a miracle. He wanted to see him pull the rabbit out of the hat. You know, there was no respect in this. There was just, well, I should be able to see a miracle. And he, too, starts to question Jesus Christ. So he questioned him at some length. But Jesus made no answer. And the chief priests and the scribes stood by, vehemently accusing him. And Herod, with his soldiers, treated him with contempt and mocked him. Then, arraying him in splendid clothing, he sent him back to Pilate. And so now we have the Jews who are accusing him. We have the Roman soldiers who are mocking him and beating him. putting a mockingly kingly clothing upon him. And as we know from other readings, a crown of thorns. Again, we must remember, this is God. This is the second person of the Trinity. Come in human form. As a human. And he's dealing with this. Now Herod and Pilate at this point, they become friends. When you do something and you fight and you struggle with something, a lot of times you end up becoming friends with someone. And I think this is what happened, with Herod and Pilate. They became friends with each other that very day, for before this they had been with enmity with each other. Then Pilate called together the chief priests and the rulers of the people, and he said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was misleading the people. And after examining him before you, behold, I did not find this man guilty of any charges against him. Neither did Herod, for look, he sent him back to us. Look, nothing deserving death has been done by him. I will therefore punish and release him." Pilate's stuck in a very hard spot. His job is to keep the peace. But he does not want to kill an innocent man. But out of political obligation and out of political motives, that's exactly what he's going to do. They all cried out together, "Away with this man and release to us Barabbas, a man who had been thrown into prison for an insurrection started in the city and for murder." This is what the people called for. Don't give us Jesus the Christ, Jesus the King. Give us the murderer. And we all kind of look back and say, well, it was the Jews' fault. It was Herod's fault. It was Pilate's fault. It was the Romans. No. It was our fault. Jesus Christ did this for us. God knew exactly what he was doing. And we would be right there with the people. As it says in verse 20, Pilate therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them, but they cried out, saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Asking for the death of God. And this is really who mankind is. And God stands there and takes it. And he said to them a third time, "Why? What evil has he done? I have found no cause of death in him. And therefore I will chastise him and let him go." And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voice of them and of the chief priests prevailed. Pilate gave the sentence that should be as they required. And he released to them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired. But he delivered Jesus to their will. Pilate already pronounced him innocent. And yet to keep the peace, he sentenced Jesus to death. Because it was easier. Again, we see mankind. We will do the worst thing if we see that there's a desired outcome. Now, Jesus, by this time, is weak. He's been beaten at least twice. And they want him to carry a cross. Now, it's interesting. And I told the kids this story when I did this lesson with them. The cross at one time for me was kind of that pretty little decoration. We wear it around our neck. We see it in earrings. We see it in the church. We see it on the walls. More so as a decoration. About 3-4 years ago, I had the opportunity to put a cross together. Life size. The man who gave me the timbers had done the research and had built 3 other ones. They're at Mission United Church over in Pelkey. And we, Mark Thunberg and I, went out to Camp Lottie to put one up where we now call the Outdoor Chapel. And I laid upon that cross and we figured out where the nails were going to go. At that point in time, I realized that that cross was not a pretty decoration. That cross was an instrument of torture. An instrument of death. It is the place that our Savior allowed Himself to be brought to so that He could bleed and die for our sins. And that's what we're going to go through now. And as they led him away, they lay hold upon one Simon, a Cyrene, coming out of a country, and they laid him, as they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people, of women, which bewailed and lamented. But Jesus, turning to them, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they shall say, 'Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bear and the paps which never gave suck.' That they begin to say, and they shall begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in a dry?" Jesus is saying that times are going to get much worse. And he already knew his fate. And he also knew the victory that he was going to win. But he had something very difficult to face. There were 2 other malefactors that led with him to be put to death. And when they came to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And so he's put there with robbers and murderers. And as they put him on the cross and they drop him into the hole, this is where we see the heart of our God. Because he says this, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." This is our God. We a lot of times want to think about a God who punishes, a God who is out to get us, a God who is out to make sure that we pay. No way. Here is God Himself nailed to a cross and being dropped into a hole. And He doesn't ask that the soldiers that did it be struck down. He doesn't ask that the chief priests and the rulers be struck down. He doesn't ask that Pilate and Herod would be struck down. He says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. That's the heart of our God. That's the thing that we need to understand about God, and that we mess up all the time. The worst of sinners, those who would nail him to the cross, sentence him to death, Jesus Christ does not ask for their death. He asks for their forgiveness. Can we be any different? We who are followers of Jesus Christ, even when people have wronged us, they don't even ask for forgiveness. Father, forgive them. And so even in ignorance, Jesus is looking to forgive. And yet the people mock. And they stood by watching. But the rulers scoffed at him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he is Christ of God, his chosen one. And the soldiers mocked him, offering him sour wine and saying, If you are king of the Jews, save yourself. And there was also an inscription over him. This is the King of the Jews. Now what's interesting, in the other gospel accounts, we find out that the chief priests and the Pharisees, they wanted that changed. Make sure you change that. It said that he claimed or called himself the King of the Jews. And Pilate said, What I have written, I have written. Even someone like Pilate can proclaim the truth. Jesus Christ was king. And he was raised up there on the cross. And now in the next section, we again get to see the heart of our God. The others rebuked him, saying, And one of the criminals who was hanged there railed at him, saying, Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And now, we hear what Jesus says to this criminal deserving death. Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. This man does nothing to deserve grace. And in fact, he himself says that he deserves death. But God, in the person of Jesus Christ, says, Today I will take you to my kingdom. This is the heart of our God. This is the one whom we come here and worship each and every Sunday. This is who we say we follow. And so, our God allows himself to die. And it was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. while the sunlight failed and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. The Holy of Holies is now open to all. And that's really what that means. That place where no man except the high priest could step, and only then, after doing all the prescribed things to be in the presence of God was torn in two. God opened up the Holy of Holies, the person of Jesus Christ, to each and every one of us. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And having breathed his last, having said this, he breathed his last. And then we get the centurion, the one who had stood there. And when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God. Certainly, this was an innocent man. That innocent man took the sin of the world to the cross, took yours and my sin individually there, took on the punishment that you and I deserve, and in another text he yells this, my Father, why have you forsaken me?" God the Father turns his back on God the Son as he bears our sin. And this is absolute torment for God the Son, to be away from the presence of God the Father. But this was necessary. God knew what he was doing when he sent his Son. God knew, whether it be in that time or it would have been today, that people, mankind, would kill him, would shout for his death. Because see, we in the flesh are at enmity with God. And this had to take place so that we could be blotted clean. And that thing that was between us and God would be washed away, would be bridged, so that we no longer have to worry about how do I approach God. We can boldly go before the throne, because he looks at us now as washed in the blood of his Son. And he was put into a grave, but he was raised to life. And now the life that we have is lived in him. This is where we move and we have our being. It's in the person of Jesus Christ. You are forgiven. When God says, "Forgive them, for they know not what they are doing," he says that even to us today. You are washed and you are forgiven by this action. And though terrible, and yes, sometimes a downer, it is the power of God to salvation. Believe it and know it. God has forgiven you in the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, has raised him and you to new life in him. In Jesus' name, amen.